Well, brilliant. I'm going to change the plan a little bit today. You know, the pastors had a plan of what we were going to be speaking over the last few weeks. And today I was going to be following route with another theme. But early in the week, I thought, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to stick around the subject that we've been on a little longer, because there were a couple of things over the last few weeks that really excited my heart concerning faith and believing God. And I want to spend some time this morning having what we sometimes call a sila, or a pause for thought type moment. Because I can't remember a time where we've had a series of messages like we've done the last 4 weeks, where we've had so much feedback from people saying, that was really good, that really helped me to trust God and believe God. So that's really exciting. So I thought, let's make sure we end well, if that's okay. So if you missed out on any of the series that we've been in, we've been talking about multiplication by miracles. And if you've missed any of those teachings the last 4 weeks, the good news is they're all available on social media. They're all available on our social media platforms, our website, etc., etc. So go back and however you're going to be doing holiday the next few weeks, go back and give them a re-listen. But today, I want to continue with this thought that we've been on, multiplication by miracles. And I just want to pray before we start. Father, we thank you. Let these thoughts from your word be more than words in our life. Lord, as we consider these things again today, Lord, let dreams begin to break forth in hearts that haven't dreamed for a while. Let hope rise. Let us be the believers you've called us to be and see the things that you want us to see. Amen. So we've been looking at the whole thought of how multiplication is God's plan for our life. That when God created us, he made us to be people of multiplication. We looked at the original design of Adam and Noah and Abraham, how the very first thing that God would say to these people that he'd created was be fruitful and multiply. Obviously, that was a lot about physical multiplication and filling the earth. But within that, there was a principle that I believe God wants us to understand, that he's a God of multiplication. We've also been sharing that as we lift him up, remember the theme for the whole year? Multiply, magnify, multiply. As we lift him up, he causes multiplication in our life. I really believe that. As we lift him up in our worship, in our praise, as we lift his word up in our lives and give it final authority, there may be other authorities, but it's what has final authority that matters. Amen. When we lift the word of God up and give it final authority in our lives, he causes a drawing. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. Not only is it people being saved when we lift him up, but he draws other things that he knows we need. Now, sometimes multiplication, or the blessing of multiplication in our lives, happens through the diligence or the hard work of our own hand. This isn't a message to the lazy. Sometimes the way that God causes us to multiply is he gives us jobs. He gives us things to do that as we put our hand to them, he causes us to succeed and prosper. Amen? But also what excites me is other times he causes multiplication in our lives. It's by miracles. What do I mean by that? Things done by him that we know we could not have done on our own. I love miracles. That moment when something happens in your life and you can't take the credit for it. Something happens in your life and you know it wasn't you. And you lift your hands to heaven and you say, thank you, Heavenly Father. This is your goodness. This is your goodness and love towards me. You did this, I didn't. My dream for you as the pastor of Family Church, your senior leader, is that you would be experiencing miracles. Whether it's miracles in your health, miracles in family situations, miracles in anywhere that they're needed. My prayer for you, Family Church, is that you wouldn't just expect or experience the blessing that comes from your hard work, but you would have moments where you'd be left saying, what about God? Don't you love those moments? What about God? A dear friend of ours, Miss Karen Wheaton, who runs the ramp, she always used to say that. Yeah, but what about God? Why? Because she was always experiencing and still is experiencing miracles where no man could be applauded. I want more of that in my life. So we've been looking over the last 4 weeks at different miracles that happened in the Bible that had nothing to do with man's capacity or ability, but it was all God. Week one, we looked at the miracle of Jesus and the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. That was a good week, wasn't it? Pastor Sean did that week. Week two, we looked at the miracle of Elisha and the widow and the multiplication of oil. Week three, we looked at the miracle of Jesus and the miraculous catching of fish. And week four, last week, we looked at the miracle of Elijah and the widow and the multiplication of grain and oil that left her with not just what she needed in the moment, but what she needed for the rest of our days. A key denominator there, or a common denominator, is miracles, multiplication. People experiencing God increase things in their lives. Now, as we've been going through these weeks and looking at these outstanding miracles, it's become increasingly apparent to me that two things were constant and a common denominator, not just in these accounts, but in fact every single one that you read about in the Bible. And this really caught my attention. I thought, wow, these two things are present here, here, here. Every miracle we're sharing about, whether it's fish, whether it's oil, you know, whether it's whatever it may be, they contain these two common things. Now, I want to share this week and spend some time doing a bit of a deep tissue massage, if that's okay. We've been stroking our faith the last few weeks with different thoughts and topics. But today, why don't we let the Holy Spirit go a little bit deeper, get the blood moving, get our dreaming happening again. Because the two things that were common denominators in all of the stories and the accounts we looked at were, number one, miracles always followed unusual, unreasonable, and sometimes unfathomable requests. There was always this unreasonable, crazy request made by God, a prophet, Jesus. And then when a person dared to do what they were being told to do, obedience, suddenly what God had promised them or intended for them came into being. So number one, miracles always followed unusual, unreasonable, ununderstandable, uncomfortable requests from God. Number two, miracles happened when the people who God had promised applied faith in God's word and stepped out. Two things, very simple, don't miss them. This is so powerful. Number one, in every account, God steps into their lack or normality and says, if you do this, you will experience this. But for them to come into the promised experience, they had to step out by faith, sometimes defying their own reason, to do what God had told them to do. And to their minds, like fishermen taking the nets out again, a lot of times it did not make sense. But when they applied faith and obedience, they came in to a place of promise. So miracles always follow unusual requests. Let's remind ourselves of the unusual requests of the last 4 weeks. With a miracle of loaves and fish, give out the little loaves and fish to the hungry crowd. That's not reasonable if you're the hosting team. You've got a few loaves, a few fish, not enough to feed 20 people. You've got well over 5,000 people sitting there staring at you. And Jesus had said, I'll pray for the bread, now you give it out. It hadn't multiplied yet. There weren't piles of bread that appeared. As the disciples went and held the bread and the fish out, and the 5,000 plus people took from it, it never ran out. What if the disciples would have said, get out of here, we're not doing that? They wouldn't have experienced the miracle. With the widow's oil, the prophet said to her, collect many vessels, shut the door, and then pour the little jar into the many empty containers. Any mathematician will tell you that is ridiculous. There is a capacity issue. But the woman said, this may be ridiculous. She went and got the jars, the big containers. And when she poured the oil in faith and obedience, the many containers were filled until there was no more room for the oil to fill. The miracle catch, what was the statement, the unusual request? To fishermen who had been fishing all night, who were cleaning their nets, they'd caught nothing. Suddenly, the request of Jesus is, cast your nets again. But this time, on the other side of the boat. The boat wasn't 2 miles wide, it was a few feet wide. There's no way that there would be fish here and not fish there. To a fisherman, this was insulting their intelligence of fishing. Yet when they said, let's do it because he said, they experienced the miraculous catch. The widow's grain and oil, make me something to eat and then go feed you and your son. It seems so selfish and so self-absorbed. This woman had said to him, I have no food. He said, get me some water, get me some food. And she said, I have no food. I'm gathering twigs. I've got a little bit of bread and a little bit of olive oil. And then I'm going to make this little bit of bread and me and my kid are going to eat it. And then our plan is we're going to die. And then the prophet makes this unusual request. Give me some and give me mine first. What if she would have got offended? What if she would have got bent out of shape? But she stepped by faith and obedience into the unusual statement, and suddenly the little became unstoppable and not ending. Now, you could say these are random stories that you've grabbed, Andy. I'm afraid not. I've been reading the Bible, which is a good thing for a senior pastor to do. And I'm actually struggling finding a miracle that happened, a promised land that was given, that didn't follow one of these unusual requests. Got a quick list here for you. Abraham, God said to him, leave everything you know and everything you've placed security in, and you will experience a promised land you've never known. Promise is in place. Abraham has a choice. Stay with what I know. Stay with where my security is. But that would have so bugged me if God said that to me. I wouldn't be able to sleep because I'd be sitting there, laying there going, but I wonder what he was promising looks like. I wonder what he was promising. I wonder what that promised land looks like. And I think I must have been similar to Abraham and him to me. I couldn't stay when there was a promise of another place. Abraham, later on, has no kids. His dream is to have his own children. Couple of problems. He's nearly 100. His wife is 100 nearly, and she's barren. She can't have babies. So suddenly God says to this barren man who always had a dream to have his own children, hey, listen, here's something for you and your wife who's old and barren too. Start calling yourself a father of many nations. That's funny, isn't it? So you've got old Abraham walking around the city center who's never had children, and everybody knew that she couldn't. And suddenly he changes his name from Abram to Abraham, H representing the breath of God. And all of a sudden you're going up to Abraham, what's your name? And his name meant father of many nations. How many kids have you got? None. And he went around, walking around, introducing himself as the father of many nations when he had none. That's confusing. But when he walked in obedience and faith, he became what God told him he was. Moses, standing at the edge of an ocean, God had made him face off Pharaoh and say, set my people free. He'd taken the people of Israel out of Egypt. Pharaoh had changed his mind and sent an army to come after him. He's standing at the edge of the Red Sea and there's no way across. He's got all the children of Israel whining. Why did we go? We should have stayed there. It wasn't too bad being a slave. He can see the dust of the Egyptian chariots coming to take them back into slavery. He comes to God and he says, what are we going to do? And God's response, use what's in your hand. What did he have in his hand? A stick. A stick. Uncle of the walking stick. Cousin of the toothpick. A stick. He says, go and stretch that over the ocean. Moses could have said, that's ridiculous. Give me helicopters. Give me a tunnel. Give me a catapult so I can start flicking people over the water. Now Moses said, all right, I don't get this. And he stretches the stick over the ocean of impossibility. And you know the rest, the waters parted. What about when Moses said, they got nothing to drink, Lord, and they're going to kill me again. Strike the rock. Why can't you just give me a river? So Moses, with his famous stick, strikes a rock and water begins to flow out that refreshes and provides for the people. Can you see a common trend happening here? Joshua standing in front of a wall. The wall of Jericho wasn't like the wall in your front garden. It was so wide, chariots used to go around it. It was so thick. And all of a sudden, God's promised Joseph that he's going to own what's on the other side, that he's going to take Jericho and that's going to belong to God. Every other city belonged to him, but Jericho was God's. And so what's your plan, God? What's your plan? How are we going to do this? God's response, get the people to be quiet and then walk around the walls 7 times. On the last time around, lift your voice and begin to shout. Joshua could have said, that's ridiculous. But Joshua stepped out in faith and obedience, started to do what God had told him to do, even though it didn't make sense. And when they shouted that cry on the 7th pass, the walls, the mighty walls of Jericho, fell down. We could keep going. There's a man called Naaman who's a soldier. And he had leprosy. He was dying. He may have been a commander, but he was a walking death sentence. Leprosy was killing him. He comes to the prophet and says, can I get a prescription from God? The prophet said, I've got your prescription from God. Go dip yourself in that water 7 times. It was dirty water. The commander responded, "Can't I go to a cleaner river like the Pharpar?" He said, "No, God's told you what to do. It's up to you whether you do it." So this soldier, in front of everyone, has to derobe his armor that made him someone special. Get in the river. He went down once, he still had leprosy. Went down three times, still had leprosy. Went down five times, still had leprosy. Went down six times, still had leprosy. Went down seventh and came up with the skin like a baby's bum. Why seven? I don't know. Well, biblical scholars say that there's a great importance in the numerology of the number seven. I don't care. All I care was God said seven, and seven was what it was. When God tells you to do something, do it like he said. King David, when he was in battle, God would say, "Wait until you hear the sound of the wind blowing through the mulberry trees." What's that got to do with anything? Well, for God, that was the moment of victory. Let's get into the New Testament, Jesus and the first miracle. You'd think that the first miracle of the Messiah, the Son of God, would be something like eyeballs growing back. But actually, it's a little bit more party animal. He turns water into wine. Why? Because this was a wedding and it was so embarrassing for the father of the bride to run at. That was shameful. Don't you love it that God, Jesus, coerced by his natural mother, caused the first miracle to be water turned into wine? They said, "The wine's running out." What did he say to the disciples? "Go get those big jars, fill them with water." How ridiculous, how unusual. And when the father of the bride tasted that water, it was now the greatest wine, and people said, "Why did you leave the best till last?" When Peter had a tax issue, be encouraged, even they had tax issues. Even they were being chased by the tax man. And the tax man chased Peter and said, "You owe us some money. In fact, you and your boss owe us money." So Peter comes to Jesus and says, "There's a tax issue. And listen, I gave up my job, so you're paying mine too." Jesus could have said, "There's a tree. There's a bank account. There's..." He said, "Go catch a fish." And as Peter went and caught a fish, he opened, and just like Jesus said, there was a golden coin in the mouth of a fish that was enough to settle the tax issue. This is ridiculous. But it brings you in to miracles. Is your ear open to the unusual statement of God? He said to a leper, "Go show yourself to the priest." And the leper still had leprosy. And as he went, did what God told him, by the time he got to the priest, the leprosy was gone. He said to the blind man, after spitting in his face, "Go wash your face." That's pretty insulting, right? You're blind, you've been blind your whole life. Everybody's talking to you. You're blind, but you're not deaf, so you've heard all about Jesus. And all of a sudden, they say, "Jesus is here." And he says, "Jesus, help me. What can I do for you?" I think it was pretty obvious. And the man says, "I've been blind." And he's expecting anointing oil from the olive groves of Gethsemane. He can't see anything, but he suddenly hears... And suddenly this gritty, sand-like paste that's slimy yet grindy is applied to his eyes. That's weird. But then he says, "Go wash your face." "But you've just spat in my eyes." As he went and washed his eyes, his eyesight returned. Can you see what I see? Can you see what I see? Can you see this common theme? What about Peter's desire to walk on water? "Not a problem," Jesus said. "Come on, get out the boat." Suddenly the concept of walking on water became a very real moment. But if he'd never got out of the boat, he wouldn't have known what God said was possible. Sometimes God speaks to us, doesn't he? And says, take a step out of the boat. Take a step of faith. So this common thread is unusual statements, people daring to do what God's asking them to do. You know, sometimes people, I hear people saying, and it kind of upsets my heart a little bit, where's the God of miracles? Where's the God of miracles? Has God changed? Well, the miracle working God is still running the universe. Maybe he hasn't changed. Maybe we have. Maybe we've become far too reasonable. Maybe we've become far too skeptic, sarcastic, doubting. What if God is still saying to us in our situations something very clear, but it's not reasonable? It takes faith. You have to let go of what you know. What if God's treating us no different to how he treated them? Then suddenly, if it was a chess game, the move is no longer his. It's up to us. You see, miracles happened when people dared to trust in what God had said. Now, what does this reveal to us? Faith was key. Faith is key. What is faith? Faith isn't difficult, my friends. Faith is just trust. These people placed trust in God for who he was and the words that he had spoken to them. And as they placed trust or faith in the God of unusual statements, everything that God had promised came to pass. Now, the Bible teaches us a lot about faith, doesn't it? It's not an absent subject from Scripture. I've got so many, we would be here for days, but let me just grab four quick statements. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, concerning faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So if we want to please God, apparently we need to do things by faith. We need to step out on promises when they make sense and when they don't, if we want to please God. Here's that miracle in Matthew 9:29, another miracle. He says, then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Simple statement, but it contains a lot of power concerning what we've been talking about. But what Jesus said to these blind people was, according to your faith on how much you believe in what I've said to you will determine the experience you have next. Now in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, it says, for we live by faith and not by sight. Other translations say we walk by faith and not by sight. What's sight? Sight's one of five senses. We see, we hear, we touch, we smell, we taste. Good senses God gave us to help us to function correctly in life. But actually, there's a sixth sense called faith. And sometimes God asks us to do things that don't make sense to what we see, what we've heard, what we feel. But yet Corinthians says to us, as people of God, like Moses, like Abraham, like Peter, like Naaman, like Joshua, we walk by faith, by trusting God and his promise, not just by our senses. The final verse is 1 Timothy 6:12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. It doesn't say, fight the good fight of fear. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You see, everything God's given you, the Bible says you fight the good fight of faith to what? Not manufacture, but take hold of what God has given for you to know. Where do we fight the fight of faith? So often it's fought in our minds. When we say that doesn't make sense, yet we know God's spoken. In moments when it doesn't make sense, yet God's spoken, we have to fight our senses. We have to fight our own reason, right? To take hold of what God has promised is available or an outcome. What if the doorway into the miracle moment that we need was as simple as hearing God speak and then stepping out on what he'd asked us to do? What if it was as simple as that? Now, I want to add a critical caveat, because I don't want anybody getting hurt by their own stupidity or manipulative idiots that prey on people. We can have wisdom in our faith, and we need wisdom in our faith. Why? Number one, every one of us have the ability to deceive ourselves, correct? All right, the rest of you, aren't you holy? Let's just turn the worship towards you. Every single one of us, the last person who knows he's deceived is the person who is. So we have the potential to be deceived, to deceive ourselves, to believe things because our soul wants them or somebody told us. We need to protect our hearts when we're walking by faith. Number two, we need to protect ourselves from crazy people, because sometimes crazy people will speak a message of faith, but they speak it to manipulate people. Sometimes people will preach on faith to get money out of your wallet that God's not asking you to give. I know this is horrible, but it's true. I've been around a few years. In the midst of incredible godly people, sometimes you can have manipulative people who are using moments when people are vulnerable to get them to give what God's not asking them to give. Right? Sometimes it's God saying it. Sometimes it could be a person saying it. So what do we do to protect ourselves if we want to walk by faith? We want to walk responding to unusual statements. We need two things, I believe. Number one, always have wise counsel in your life. Always have faith-filled leaders and trustworthy individuals. Now, don't cast your pearls to pigs, but have people in your life that if God's asking you to do something unusual, you feel God telling you to do something that doesn't make sense, that's a little bit bonkers to normal way of thinking, there's every chance it could be God. But if you've got wise counsel, I believe it's Proverbs, it says, wage good war by wise counsel. Have people in your life that you can ring and say, I know you love me, I know you love God more. Hey, I'm hearing this. Could you let me know what you feel? Could you tell me when you pray if God is giving you a witness? That can be a protective fence to your walk of faith. The other thing that you may want to do sometimes is, if it's big, lay out some fleeces. Now, if it's small, it's like you believe in God for some chicken McNuggets. You really don't need to do this. But if God's asking you to do something and it affects you, it affects your family, it affects your future, it affects a lot of things in a significant way, I don't believe it's wrong to do what Gideon did and lay out some fleeces. Now, is laying out fleeces right? No, but it's okay. See, when God said to Gideon, I am going to give you victory over the Midianites. I am going to give you a win that you will never believe in a month of Sundays. But Gideon, I want you to take this army into battle and win this. Gideon said, we're outnumbered. We're not big enough. God said, I'm giving you victory. Now, Gideon really should have said, well, because you said you've given it, I've got it. I need no other evidence. But he did need evidence. He wasn't doubting God speaking. He was doubting him hearing. And so he says, listen, I'm going to lay out a fleece, Lord. This wasn't right. In some ways, it was unbelief, wasn't it? But it was needed. And we know it was okay because God worked with it. And so he puts the fleece out, and you know the story. He says, when I wake up in the morning, let the fleece be wet and the ground be dry. When he woke up in the morning, the fleece was wet and the ground was dry. Now, he can't help him. He says, just do this for me, Lord. Tomorrow morning, can we do this again? But tomorrow morning, can the fleece be dry and the ground be wet? He wakes up in the morning and just like he'd asked, so it is. One day, wet fleece. One day, dry fleece. Wet ground, dry ground. I'm so glad he didn't play best of three with God. Best of three, Lord. He said, no, that's enough for me, Lord. You've given me a confirmation that I'm not hearing me, I'm hearing you. And that gave him courage and boldness to step out, outnumbered, and lead. See, he wasn't just dealing with his life. If he got this wrong, he could get a lot of people killed. When we have situations that are so big that it affects the lives of other people, I don't believe it's wrong to, number one, seek wisdom from people you trust, who are godly, faith-filled people. But also to say, God, this is so big. I know I shouldn't do this, but I need you to confirm for me. Because people are going to call me insane. People are going to call me a lunatic. People are going to call me stupid. People are going to call me out. God, I need to know that you're the author of this moment. So let's bring this in for a bit of a landing. Stepping out by faith and walking by faith causes us to enter in to the promised things that he has for us. Do you know that God has promised things for you? God has promised things for the situations you're facing. God has promised things for your life and for things that look hopeless. God has promised things. Are we able, like the list of people we've gone through, to hear an unusual request? Have we got the faith and the courage to, with wise counsel, using fleeces, step in to that which God is asking us to do? We should, because number one, it's biblical pattern. If you've been around me for any years, you know I'm obsessed with biblical pattern. Whatever I do, I have to have biblical pattern. I have to see it in the Bible, in the old, in the new. If I'm going to build something, it has to have. I don't care about corporate pattern. I don't care about other. I care about Bible. Is there a biblical pattern? If there is, full speed ahead. Number two, all we're doing is what we did when we were saved. Maybe you say to me today, believing for a miracle is too big, it's impossible for me. Well, you've already done it. You've already believed for the biggest miracle you're ever going to believe for. Every other miracle is small compared to the miracle you already believed for. You say, where was I when this happened? It was the moment you gave your life to Jesus and asked him to save you. Do you know what a miracle it is to take somebody who's disconnected from God, sentenced to hell after life, and make them in a moment a friend of God and a part of his family and someone that can have an assurance of eternity when they die. That's a miracle. To make someone as an old creation into a new creation instantly, that's a miracle. You say, what did I do to step into this miracle, this promised land? Well, actually, all you did is what we're talking about today. You placed faith in the Word of God. Let me tell you the word that you placed faith in. It's from Ephesians. For by grace, which is unmerited, undeserved favor, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God. Not a result of works or performance, so that no one can boast. Now stay with me as I bring this to a close. God spoke into your world when you were separated and undeserving like he did in mine. The same thing he said to Abraham. I have a promised land for you of saved, forgiven, restored, a part of my family. But you've got to choose if you're going to leave Haran, if you're going to leave what you know and come into what I've promised. Do you know the moment you believed in Jesus, if you haven't yet done it, you can do it in about 4 minutes. The moment you believed in Jesus, like Abraham, you stepped out of the life you'd only known and in to a journey in a land of promise that lasts even into eternity. And all you did was believe this unreasonable statement that if you believe in Jesus Christ, all of your sin will be forgiven and you will become a friend of God. When you stepped out by faith on that unusual statement, your life was moved from separation to promised land. So, you've already believed for the biggest thing you're ever going to believe for, the saving of your soul. Ever heard the expression, just start as you mean to go on? If you started your walk with God by faith, don't change the recipe. Keep on walking by faith in every word and promise that he gives you. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Walking by faith isn't a broken thing. You did it for the saving of your soul. Now do it for every other thing that you're believing for. Has this been useful? I just think it ties together the last 4 weeks, doesn't it? Start to dream again, church. Start to hear God speaking promises. But also begin to listen for the unusual thing he asks you to do. If it's really unusual, phone a godly friend that hears heaven. Lay out a fleece. But after that, take the step. Because all I know, there would have been a sad man called Abraham if he'd stayed where he was when God had promised him something else. Amen. If you're here today and you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the one who changes everything, the one that makes broken things work again, the one who saves to the uttermost, the one who's able to restore, heal, make things stronger than they've ever been before. If you've never given your life to Jesus, why don't you do it today? Why don't you start your faith journey? Why don't you step out and say, all right, I dare to believe that Jesus is real and he died on a cross for me. And when I place my faith in Jesus, my life is saved. Okay, I'm going to believe that. That's brilliant. Let me lead you into a prayer. Hey, church, we always do this together so nobody feels awkward. Come on, let's pray this. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for me, that his blood shed would make full payment for every sin, that I could be born again into a new life, receive the gift of salvation when I didn't deserve it. I believe in you, Jesus, and I receive the gift of salvation. Come and live in me, Holy Spirit, and turn my life around, because today I give my life to Jesus Christ, King of Kings. Just my every eye's closed, every head's bowed. If you're here today, I want to give you an opportunity to respond. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm here to connect you to heaven. If you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus, maybe you're here and you say, I don't know if I said yes to Jesus. Oh, you would know if you'd said yes to Jesus. Maybe today, the day is now where you say yes to him. Maybe you've been away from God and you want to come back. Maybe you've been slipping away on a slippery slope, ever further away from God. But today you say, I want to come back, Andy. I don't want to miss this adventure. Maybe you prayed it for the first time or because you're coming back. Either one is fine. When I count to three, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. For those watching online, you can do this at home. You can do this wherever you are. And when you lift your hand, you're just saying, yes, that's me, Jesus. Come by here today, right now in my life. So I'm going to count to three. And if that's you, I want to give you just an encouragement. Be bold, be courageous. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let fear, embarrassment, pride stop you from a moment that could change everything in your life. Here we go. One, two, three. Right now. Is there anyone? God bless you, sir. I see your hand. That's brave. God bless you, young man. I see your hand. Is there a third person? God bless you. That's a third person. God bless you. There was a fourth person. Is there somebody else? You say, me too, Andy. Come on. You got nothing to lose. You've got everything to gain. You have zero to lose, but you could gain everything. Is there a fifth person? Is there a fifth person right now? And you say, I am done being my own boss. I need a God. There's a fifth hand at the back there. Is there a sixth hand? You say, me too, Andy. Me too. I don't want to be left behind. I want to know God's will and plan for my life. Is there a sixth hand? I'm going to shut this down in a few seconds. If that's you, pop your hand in the air. Get your hand in the air. Act like you just don't care. Get your hand in the air if that's you and say, yeah, I prayed that prayer and it ain't no secret any longer. Come on, I'm going to count this down. We got a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Father, I thank you for each of these people that have responded. I pray that, Father, they would have a knowledge of sin forgiven, that they would know your Spirit now filling them in a fresh way, in a new way. Lord, I pray that even today they would just know a lightness in their hearts because everything has now changed. Amen. Before we give them a huge clap and celebrate with some people that have joined the church family, the family of God, if you lifted your hand, we got a Bible for you. We got some stuff for you. We just want to make sure we give you what you need for your next few steps. If you came with a friend, get your friend just to give you just 2 or 3 minutes. Right hand side for me, left hand side for you. At the back, Liz and Beth, they're there. They just want to give you stuff and say well done. But church, come on, that's 5 people that are now a part of the family of God. What's heaven doing right now? Come on, what's heaven doing right now? Oh, come on, it's louder than that. What, you're too hot to get excited? Come on, these are lives being changed and transformed. To everyone that lifted their hand, the Lord bless you. We're so excited. You don't know yet fully what you've done. We do. Get ready for some fun adventure. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week. Amen.